want to give generously to your church, but your non-believing spouse objects. What do you do? Hi, I'm Rob West. That's a question we get from time to time, and it's a situation that must be handled with care. If you or someone you know is in that position, don't miss today's program because Ron Blue is here with some sage advice. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, I always look forward to having Ron Blue on the program. He's the co-founder of Kingdom Advisors, the author of many books on biblical finance, including Master Your Money, the classic. Ron, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Rob. Looking forward to it.
Ron, as you know, we get this question from time to time. I know you've answered it many times over the years, and it has to do with a spouse who wants to give to the church, but is causing tension in the marriage. And we've tackled this question in the first issue of our brand new quarterly publication, Faithful Steward. And you can learn more about becoming a FaithFi partner. So you get every copy each quarter delivered to your mailbox at faithfi.com. But let's start with the principle here, because I know you always teach around principles in financial decision making. What's the principle at the heart of this particular issue?
Well, there's a couple of things. I believe that the marriage is more important than the money. Mm. And God's word encourages us in Ephesians 5:21 to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So that reminds me to honor my spouse, and that it's not just my decision, but a joint decision. And Matthew 19:6 says, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. And so those are some biblical principles to begin with.
Yes. I want to unpack this and apply it for our listeners, but I want to do that around your story because you actually experienced this when Judy came to Christ before you. Explain that.
Well, when Judy came to Christ, she wanted to tithe, and I was so far away from the Lord that that was the last thing I wanted to do with my money.
Yeah.
So she elected to not say anything about it for 2 years, but she lived out a life that was totally different, if you will, and that was compelling to me. So I kind of developed the philosophy that if the non-believing spouse is dramatically opposed to the tithe or the giving at all, remember that first principle. The marriage is more important than the money. God doesn't need the money, but he really does want a good marriage.
Yeah, she lived out 1 Peter 3:1-2. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. You saw her live out a life that was very attractive, and the Lord used that to ultimately cause you to surrender your own life to Christ, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I was fortunate in that I had some good mentors, and even before I was a Christian, and one of the things that Judy and I did regularly, twice a year, we would take a weekend away and set goals, and that would include giving goals, which after I was a believer, that was a joyful time to just talk about where we're giving and why we're giving. And my own philosophy on giving, Rob, is that tithe is really a beginning point on giving,
yeah.
And a lot of the giving that we do should be after the tithe, and Judy and I are in total agreement on that, and have found a terrific joy in giving. And you and I know that the only way you can break the power of money is to give.
Yes.
And so giving, and giving with unity with your spouse, is something to be pursued, I think, diligently.
Mm. That's well said, Ron. The big idea here is God ultimately wants our hearts, and your spouse's salvation is primary. Again, he doesn't need our money. So perhaps listen openly to your spouse's concerns, explain why giving is meaningful to you, and see if you can find a giving framework that honors both of your personal convictions as the primary objective. Ron, thanks for your time today.
Good to be with you, Rob. Thank you.
That's financial teacher and author Ron Blue. You can find his books wherever you buy books, and you can't go wrong with any of them. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back after this break.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
It's an odd tradition when you think about it, more comical than superstitious. In a small town in Pennsylvania, thousands gather to find out when spring is coming from a groundhog. If he sees his shadow, they say 6 more weeks of winter are yet to come. And it's humorous. It gives a lift to adults and kids alike in what are often dreary months. But there's a better way to remind ourselves that spring is coming. Jeremiah 5:24 says, "Let us fear the Lord, who gives autumn and spring rains in season, who assures us of the regular weeks of harvest." It's the Lord who orders the seasons and reigns sovereign over all creation, and we're dependent on Him. And that's a very good thing. Get more daily encouragement from God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Great to have Ron Blue as always. And boy, this is a topic we get so often. Again, how do you navigate giving with an unbelieving spouse and recognizing that the spouse's own spiritual condition is paramount? God wants unity in our marriages. He doesn't need the money, and yet giving is a really good thing. We want to balance all of these things. As Ron said, I think the principle at the core of this issue is this idea that the marriage is more important than the money, and we would certainly agree that your spouse coming to Christ is more important than all of it. And so how do you navigate that, honor your spouse, and create an environment where the Holy Spirit can go to work and leave the results to the Lord? Well, we deal with this topic in our new first edition of our new magazine, Faithful Steward. It's right there at the back. We're going to have a Q&A with Ron Blue in each issue, and this is the topic we tackled first. You know, I think just to go back, a few suggestions. Once we understand that the marriage is more important than the money, and we understand 1 Peter 3:1-2. A few suggestions. First, listen openly to your spouse's concerns. This is going to foster healthy dialogue and show that you care about their perspective. Then consider explaining why giving is meaningful to you. Share how generosity aligns with your faith and perhaps frame it as a personal conviction rather than an obligation. This approach, I think, allows your spouse to see giving as an expression of your values without feeling pressured. Now, if disagreements persist, and in many cases they will, what if you explore creative compromises? For example, you might budget individually for causes you each value in that spending plan. This way, you can give to your church, and your spouse can experience the joy of generosity by supporting a cause they care about. I think above all, though, the big idea here is trust God's timing. While unity and generosity are both clearly biblical callings, God's ultimate desire is for hearts to be transformed. So clearly, we want to be praying for our spouse. We want to lean on God. We want to trust that your faithfulness will speak volumes and that that in turn will foster peace and unity in your marriage. And again, remember where we started here. The principle, the money, is not as important as the marriage. Or another way you could say the same thing, the marriage is more important than the money. By the way, if this is something that's helpful to you, you'd like to read articles and Q&A and features just like this, helping you integrate faith and finance for God's glory, Faithful Steward is a wonderful 52-page digest. We'll send it out quarterly to our FaithFi partners. If you'd like to learn more about becoming a FaithFi partner, you can do that on our website, faithfi.com. Just click Give. All right, we're going to begin taking your calls and questions here in just a moment today. That number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Also, coming up a little later in the broadcast, Bob Dahl stops by. Bob will weigh in on the markets. The market's selling off today, at least in the early going. Not terrible. Dow Jones off a little less than 1.5%, about 600 points. NASDAQ down a bit more at nearly 2.5%. That's 467 points lower. What's driving the markets lower? Well, it's all about tariffs, and we'll get Bob's take on that. How might that affect consumer prices, these tariffs, in the days and weeks to come? What about the economy? What do we need to know about this? Is it purely a negotiating tactic, or could we be in for some pain when we go to the gas pump and the grocery store and the like? Bob will weigh in on all of that. Straight ahead. We will be taking your calls as well, and we'll head to the phones here in just a moment. In the news today, if you receive a strange text from an unknown number offering an investment opportunity, well, you might have guessed I'm going to say delete it immediately. The latest cryptocurrency fraud report released by the FBI shows a big increase in these scams based on the latest data, which only covers up to 2023. Crypto scam complaints totaled about 70,000 that year with $5.6 billion in losses. That's a 45% increase from the year before, and you can imagine what that might look like in 2024 as this becomes more mainstream. These scams often begin with seemingly harmless messages that lure you into clicking a link or sharing sensitive information. By the way, no matter which flavor of scam it is, it seems like it always begins with you clicking on a link or sharing sensitive information, so just don't do it. Once you're hooked, of course, they can steal your money and through fraudulent cryptocurrency investment offers or get you to reveal personal information that they will use to steal your identity. So what do you do? Well, you can avoid falling victim to this type of scam by always verifying the source of a text or an email. Better yet, and I would just say do this in every case, if you didn't initiate the conversation, delete the email, delete the text. Don't answer the phone, or just don't give out any information over the phone unless, again, you are the one that initiates that contact. And so that would be navigating on your own to their website and then finding the contact information, hanging up, finding the phone number that you secure, and then calling them directly. It's true that some people have made a lot of money investing in crypto, but others have lost a ton, too. If something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And let me just say, even though I think crypto is here to stay, blockchain behind it has far-reaching implications for our economy and for business, is not going anywhere. But I would say is, as an investment, highly speculative. You know, it really needs to be in that ultra speculative category of your investment that is really only for, first of all, sophisticated investors, and number two, with a very small allocation. I'm saying no more than 10% in that total speculative category, and this might make up a piece of that. I'd probably stay with Bitcoin as well. I'd stay far away from any of the meme coins or any of those, just because, man, the volatility is unreal. And I like the sure and steady approach with God's money when we're investing. The Bible calls that steady plodding, and that's probably a good rule of thumb if you're thinking about investing. By the way, if you can't explain it to your mom, you probably shouldn't invest in it. That's another rule of thumb. All right, to the phones we go, 800-525-7000. Hi, Carson. Thanks for calling from North Carolina today. How can I help?
Hey, Rob. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah.
So my question is, I am a one-person income, so I'm a single mom. I make about $2,600 a month in income. And I know they say the 30% rule is what you should have for renting a house. My ultimate goal is to buy a house, because it's just as much to buy your monthly mortgage as to rent.
Yeah.
But right now it's looking like I'm having to rent, and I cannot find anything that's really safe and clean for me and my daughter that's less than like $1,100. Would you say that's just a really bad idea, or is that doable? You know, I have a budget. It looks like I can make it. It'll be, you know, things will be thin for a little while, but
yeah.
Do you think that's just a bad idea or possible?
No, I think it is possible. Remember, the rule of thumb is just that. Home affordability is really challenging. You put on top of that your situation, single income, single parent home. I know that, I mean, I've counseled hundreds of folks in that situation. And, you know, my heart goes out to you, Carson, because I know just how difficult it is just to make ends meet. And so, yeah, you can certainly go above that. I think the key is just to make sure that, you know, the rest of the budget works. And that you're not trying to, you know, make things work, but you really are being realistic about what it truly takes for you to operate, you know, your family finances over a month's time. But if you can make the numbers balance, I would say you could go for it. I'd also be willing to get one of our certified Christian financial counselors with you to give you a once over on your budget. We'll cover the cost. Stay on the line. We'll talk about that off the air. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
When Psalm 94 was written, God's people faced evildoers who killed even widows and orphans. Yet the psalmist wrote, "When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul." Remembering who the Lord is often comforts troubled hearts. We can find great comfort in His past kindnesses, in Sunday sermon, in good counsel, and in Scripture. For more encouragement, read Calming an Anxious Heart on thestand.net.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I had a chance to visit with Carson a bit more off the air. You know, we talk about these kind of budget guidelines, if you will, and we talk about the fact that, yeah, if you're going to make your budget work, we want to try to keep that rent or mortgage payment under 25% of your take-home pay, preferably 30. But if you have to go over that, you're just going to have to recognize you got to cut back in other budget categories. I mean, it is just a rule of thumb. And I know the housing market is challenging in certain pockets of the country. It's really challenging, you know, especially with Carson's situation. She's a single mom trying to make ends meet. Safety, being in a location she feels safe with her small children, is obviously paramount. And so, you know, we had a good chance to visit off the air, and she's going to, you know, move forward. The good news is she's doing a great job on her own. She's working already with one of our certified Christian financial counselors, Gordon, who's amazing. He loves just helping people with money management and budgets and spending plans. We're going to cover the next couple of meetings for her to continue meeting with Gordon and getting her budget really in line and in a plan that she can use moving forward. By the way, if you'd like to connect with one of our certified Christian financial counselors, you can use the same tool that you use to find a CKA on our website at faithfi.com. When you click find a professional, depending on the category of assistance you need, it will automatically redirect you to either a CKA, if that's what you need, a certified kingdom advisor for things like investing and financial planning or accounting. But if you check a button like I need help with budgeting or I need help with debt, well, that's just automatically going to show you a listing, not of our CKAs, but of our CERT CFCs. And that's short for Certified Christian Financial Counselor. These are wonderful, godly people who just their ministry is helping God's people handle things like budgeting and spending plans and marital communication and debt or credit card repayment options. And, you know, they will often meet with you the first time at no cost. And then from that point forward, you'll decide what, you know, that fee would be for a virtual meeting, but could be really helpful in getting you on the right path. Again, that website, faithfi.com, just click find a professional. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. We're going to stay in North Carolina, though, and talk to David. Go ahead.
Shalom. Good morning. My name is Dave Weiner. I am a Messianic rabbi. I was born again 52 years ago. Awesome. I'm 77 now, and I serve the Lord out here, all kind of ministry. I'm calling to share a miracle that happened, how God works these things out. I have no idea, but that's what makes him God. We used to live in Massachusetts, and my wife's parents lived out in, they moved out to Arizona. We moved out there. We bought a brand new house for $134,000. We were out there about 15, 16 years, and eventually they passed away, and we were going to sell the house and buy and move out here to North Carolina next to our daughter. So the miracle was, like, we were tithing out there very faithfully. We incurred $20,000 in debt because my wife had to stay home with her parents. But we had faith in the Lord. You know, I don't know how he does these things, but he does. So the year before, just before we were going to sell the house to move out here, the house gained $100,000 in value.
Wow.
We paid off for a house out here cash. We paid off the $20,000 in credit card debt. We paid off our car. We are absolutely debt-free. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's how he works.
Isn't that incredible? You know, I love that you're giving testimony to God's faithfulness. And you're right. Often we don't understand how it works. And yet in God's economy, it does. And it's not a matter of God being a cosmic vending machine, but it's about faithfulness to opportunity. What have you done with what you've been given? You clearly trusted the Lord. He provided. And as Larry Burkett says, he's never late, but seldom early. And usually right about the time we need to see God's faithfulness, Christmas is right when he shows up. And, you know, through that, we learn valuable lessons. And now here you are giving testimony to that, David, to God's people. And I really appreciate it. I think the takeaway there is we should be faithful in our giving, not because God needs our money. He wants our hearts, but that act of giving, holding what we have with an open hand, is the ultimate posture of trust. Because what it says is, I know it's not dependent upon me, my income. Yes, I need to work hard, and you know that's clear in Scripture, but ultimately, God is my provider. And when I give, it says, God, I know you will continue to provide, and so therefore, I can take a portion of what you've given me and put it back into circulation in your economy. It's a good reminder for us today, David, and I appreciate you sharing that story. God bless you, sir. Call anytime. Let's go to North Dakota. John, you're up next. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi there. How can I serve you?
Oh, yes. So I was very pleased when I came across this program because it's a program that is quite educative. It teaches us the things that we would hardly have known without this program. And one of the biggest advantages is that it teaches us for free. That is just wonderful. It's glorious.
Thank you. I'm so glad.
Yeah, God bless you for this good work. So I am looking at a budget of $20,000, and I'm wondering, what can I do with $20,000 to make some profit?
Yeah, it's a good question, John. Anytime we have a surplus, it's important to take a step back and, you know, recognize, first of all, what you hear us talk about on this program every day is that we have to begin with the idea that God owns it all, and therefore we're money managers of the King of Kings resources. And money is not an end, it's a means to an end. It's a tool to accomplish God's purposes. So we should line up the use of God's money with our values and priorities. I think, you know, just looking at wise money management, we would start by saying, do we have an emergency fund? So is this $20,000 you're looking to invest beyond some liquid savings that you're keeping earmarked for the unexpected?
Yes.
Okay. And do you have 3 to 6 months worth of expenses separate from this?
Yes.
Okay. And a couple more questions, then we're going to take a break and I'll give you my thoughts. Do you have any consumer debt, like credit card debt, that you're not paying off at the end of the month?
No credit card, just home.
Okay, just your house. All right, very good.
Yeah.
Good. So this is money that's truly earmarked, you know, that you could invest. We'll talk about the time horizon on it and any other retirement savings that you have. And then we'll talk about perhaps how you might think about investing this right after this break. Stay with us on Faith and Finance.
Empty stomachs, waterborne illnesses, hopelessness. These are harsh realities for impoverished African children, but you can make a difference. Join with Cross International to share the love of Jesus with a child in critical need today. Each gift of $62 provides a child with life-saving resources. Give now at crossinternational.org/faith or 866-843-9500 and help kids go from barely surviving to thriving.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider. And select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers. where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've already covered a lot of ground. We've started the day by talking with Ron Blue about how you handle giving when your unbelieving spouse doesn't want you to give to your local church. What a great discussion. We heard a testimony from a Messianic Jew, a rabbi, David, who shared a testimony about God's blessing following his faithfulness in giving. And before the break, we talked with John in North Dakota. John is 40 years old. He works full-time, has a mortgage, no other debt, has an emergency fund, but separate from that has $20,000 he'd like to invest and is wondering the best place to invest it. John, do you have any other investable assets? For instance, are you contributing to a retirement plan at work or something else?
Yes.
Okay. What do you have? Do you have a 401k or what is it?
Yes.
401k. All right. Do you know what percent of your income you're putting into that?
It's 10%.
10%. And then are they matching beyond that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So one option would be if you're not maxing that out, you could put more in there, and if that reduced your income such that it was going to make it challenging to balance the budget, you could pull and supplement from this $20,000. The idea would be that we're kind of systematically moving it from one bucket, a taxable environment, over to this pre-tax environment in the 401k. The other opportunity, I think, which perhaps I could get even more excited about, is a Roth IRA. Are you familiar with a Roth?
No.
Okay. So an IRA stands for Individual Retirement Account. And so you don't set it up through your employer. You know, that first letter, I, for individual, is just that. It's between you and, you know, the IRS. So it's your own account, not through your employer. And there's two varieties of IRAs. There's a traditional, which acts just like your 401k, where you put the money in. You can put in up to $7,000 under the age of 50 for 2025. You can actually still contribute for 2024 until you file your 2024 tax return. But you could put in up to $7,000, and with the traditional variety, you get the deduction on it. So it's excluded from your taxable income, federal and state. And then you would invest it just like you did with your 401k, and it would grow. And then when you get to retirement, you would have, in addition to your 401k, you would have your IRA that would also be there as an additional retirement asset. Now, there's a second version of the IRA called a Roth IRA that comes from Senator Roth, who kind of dreamed this up. And you don't get the deduction when the money goes in. You put in after-tax dollars, the same $7,000. And by the way, you can only do up to $7,000 between these two. So you'd have you couldn't do seven in one and seven in the other. But you put in after-tax dollars, but then you invest it and it grows. And when you take it out in retirement, all the gains that you made from the increases in the investments and the dividends, you take that out 100% tax-free. And so it's a really nice tool because you're paying today's tax rates, regardless of what the tax rates are going to be, you know, 25 years from now when you retire or whatever that is, which obviously is an unknown. So I kind of like you having the Roth alongside the 401k that you've got now. So what I would do is I'd probably open a Roth IRA, and if you're married, you could open one for your spouse at Fidelity or Charles Schwab. Make your contribution for last year if you haven't filed your tax return yet, which most people haven't. You could put in $7,000. If you're married, you could put in $14,700 apiece in two IRAs, Roth. And then you could turn around and make the 2025 contribution as well, another $7,000, or if you're married, another $14,000 between the two. And that would allow you to put in, you know, potentially as little as 14, but as much as 28. So that would, you know, be the whole 20,000. And then in terms of the investments, if you want something that's automated, you could use the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, very low cost, pretty turnkey. The other option is I could give you a list of the faith-based investing mutual fund families where you would know that the investments are aligned with your Christian values. But let me stop there and just see what questions you have.
Do you have any idea what the profit would be?
I don't, just because, you know, you could invest in any stock, bond, or mutual fund under the sun. So it's really all dependent upon the performance of that particular fund. Now, if we were to say, okay, let's say you're to put this in like a growth mutual fund, which is focused on buying a broad swath of growth-oriented companies, that would be most closely like the S&P 500, the Standard & Poor's 500, which are the 500 biggest companies that are growth-oriented, large cap, here in the United States. You know, that's historically averaged better than 9%. Now, that's historical. Does that mean we're going to get that in the next 12 months? Maybe, maybe not. Last year, the S&P 500 did 23%. Could it be down this year? Absolutely. And so that's why we don't invest for a year or 2 years or even 5 years. We invest for the long haul. And if you have that long-term perspective and you're properly diversified, then you can expect a nice rate of return, like 9% average annual return, which is what the S&P 500 has done. So I would say, you know, I would be expecting, you know, over the next decade, probably somewhere better than 7% a year would be a pretty safe estimate.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Now, let me give you the next steps on these. To open that Roth IRA, I would go to either Fidelity or Schwab. They're low-cost national firms, very well-respected. In terms of finding the investment options, the mutual funds to pick from, I'm going to give you a website where you can download a free PDF. It's going to have a listing of about 14 fund families that are all faith-based investing funds. And so you'll know that you're not going to own companies in those portfolios that are misaligned with your values. And the website is faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. So let me say that again, faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. And call back anytime if you have other questions. God bless you, sir. Let's go to Kay in Indiana. Hi, Kay. How can I help?
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a small HSA account that I've had for many years. I did it myself, and it's been in just a local place that, you know, doesn't get a good interest rate or anything like that on it. And I was wondering, I've looked at Fidelity HSA and studied all of it, and I'm thinking about transferring it from my current place into that and investing it at Fidelity HSA. They have funds you can invest in your HSA, and I was thinking about doing it in an S&P-type fund.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, I'm age 73, and I'm wondering if you think at my age I should be doing that.
Yeah, as long as you're not planning on using this money really quickly, because if you are, there's probably no point in transferring it. But if this is money you don't need right away and you want to, as you said, get it invested and have it accessible to you when you need it for medical expenses down the road, which that's why I love the HSA. It's a great tool. yeah, I like the idea of you transferring it out. You know, going somewhere like a Fidelity is going to give you probably lower fees because they have no account maintenance fees. Some do charge monthly or annual fees. You're going to get better investment options because they've got a broad selection of low-cost mutual funds and ETFs. A lot of the faith-based investing funds that I just mentioned would be available on that platform. And really easy management. Great, simple account management. So I'm on board with this. You just do a direct transfer from one HSA custodian to the other, and I think this is a great plan. Kay, thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Is it really possible to rejoice in the Lord despite difficult people and circumstances? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress opens to the book of Philippians, in which the Apostle Paul reveals how to experience outrageous joy in any and every situation. Learn how to live above your circumstances. All this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Have you added AFR on Roku? With it, you can quickly access AFR programming live.
I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View.
The majority of Americans actually want to live in reality.
As well as podcasts of all your favorite shows.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7.
AFR on Roku is another way to stay informed, equipped, and motivated as we join together to restore godly values in our nation. AFR on Roku. Add it today.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. But in this segment, we're joined by Bob Dahl each Monday with his market commentary and analysis. Bob is a Wall Street veteran. He's a Christ follower. He manages billions of dollars in faith-based investments. He's a frequent contributor on Fox Business and CNBC and joins us each week. Bob, good morning to you.
And to you.
Happy Monday. An exciting day, yeah. Although I will say, you know, with the prospect of a global trade war underway over the weekend and all of the draconian comments and then the market starting down considerably lower, we've pared those losses. And I'm seeing that, you know, even in just the last several minutes, we've got a comment by the president of Mexico about a conversation with President Trump. But what do you make of what's going on?
Well, as we said in our 10 predictions, we expect volatility this year in both directions. Well, we've seen it just today in the last few hours. As you mentioned, the losses have been about cut in half. Look, a trade war is generally not good news for anybody. It just restricts the ability of countries to buy from other countries what that country does the best and vice versa. But the president has put these in attempting to get some attention, in this case primarily from Canada and Mexico, to work on some things that troubles him, for example, immigration and drug seeping into our country. But you're right. If somebody says we're going to have a meaningful conversation, well, maybe the pressure gets taken off a little bit. We're hoping that these tariffs, Rob, lead to some changes, some conversations, and we can take them off before it begins to damage the economy.
Yeah. Bob, obviously, you know, there are things that can be done quickly, like, you know, beefing up border security and dealing with, you know, a porous border. Others, which President Trump pointed out over the weekend, related specifically to Canada with a trade imbalance and, you know, some of those types of things, obviously are longer term issues. How far do you think he'll take this just in terms of trying to solve some of these bigger issues that have been around for decades?
A great question, unknowable answer. I think his advisors will certainly say, look, if there are movements in the right direction, plans that are being affected in the right direction, Mr. President, please back off some. Whether he'll listen to that advice or say, no, I need these things fixed before I ease up at all, well, then the economic consequences will have to be paid. We do know President Trump views the economy, as all presidents do, important for his legacy, and Mr. Trump, more than most, the stock market. And he doesn't want to see a whole lot of damage. So it's going to be a balancing act. He certainly rang the bell, off with bravado and a lot of attention, and we'll see what happens from here.
Bob, how does this show up if we were to have a 25% tariff in place for some time with Canada and Mexico? We're hearing about 10% and a certain portion of the imports from China. But how would that show up for the average consumer?
Well, estimates are all over the place because it's too soon to really know and calculate. But the most reliable things I've seen is this could affect the inflation rate in the wrong direction by up to 1%. So if you've been stuck at 3, are you going to get stuck at 4? That won't be pleasant for consumers. It probably slows economic growth by 0.5% of real GDP. So, you know, 1% on inflation, 0.5% on GDP, if those numbers are anywhere close to right, we'll feel it, Rob. They're both, if you will, in the wrong direction.
There seems like there's this ongoing debate of who actually pays for the tariff. It seems like the best case, and I'd love for you to explain this, is that it really is that company that is getting hit with the tariff that ultimately has to decide how are they going to price that to the consumer. Are they going to absorb it? Are they going to pass it along? I mean, is that really what it's about, or does it show up in other places of the supply chain?
The primary reaction is exactly what you just said. So if you're a manufacturer of widgets, and now widgets are, you're going to have to pay a tariff on those widgets, you have to consider, who's my customer? Will they pay the higher price if I pass it all through on to them? Or am I going to have to absorb some myself? And that will in part depend on the other makers of widgets and what they do. So there are a lot of chain reactions, conversations, experiments. Let's put it this way. Corporate margins get squeezed a bit and consumers pay a little bit more. We just don't know who's going to share how much of that 100%.
Yeah. Bob, are you on board with this idea long term for our economy's sake of bringing manufacturing back here? Or do you like the idea of us, you know, keeping some of this, you know, at various parts of the world because there's efficiencies and economies of scale?
Well, I'm of both minds. It's clear in President Trump's mind, and I agree with him to some degree, that we, the U.S., have been too concerned about others and not, MAGA, not enough put America first. So he's kind of 100% in that direction. What I don't want is to cut up off our nose to spite our face. And that is to say that the whole world does a little bit worse, including the U.S., as a result of all these tariffs. That's not what we want to do. So I'm hoping this is going to provoke quicker and more decisive action and conversations so that we can go back to business a little bit more as usual. But it will take time.
Yeah. Bob, as we look at this through a biblical lens and really understand a biblical worldview that God created everything, it all belongs to him, and we realize that, you know, going all the way back to the beginning, I mean, there's you know, natural resources in some parts of the world and not in others. I mean, does that really promote this idea that we should be traders even across border? And is there something we need to understand as Christ followers there?
Absolutely. God wants us to get along with our neighbor. There are a lot of commandments that speak right to that issue. And as a result, we have to figure out what the right balance is. Let's just make it you and me. You make potatoes, I make string beans.
Yeah.
You can't make string beans, I can't make potatoes. So it's logical we do some trading.
Yeah.
And, well, how many string beans do you require for a potato and vice versa? That's where the negotiations come. So God, in his perfect economy, has put different things in different countries for different purposes. And let's see how we get along. And I'm glad he's in control because I can't figure it out.
Well, that's for sure. Bob, obviously, we started today with a pretty quick sell-off. It seems like that's come back. Who knows where we'll finish the day. But is the market telling us anything by how it is shrugging off all of these headlines?
Well, I'm not sure it is. While we're up from the bottom so far this morning, we're still down, call it 1%. Remember, on Friday when news of this began to leak, the market went south as well. So you put the two together, the market's saying, I'm a little concerned about all this. Now, we've had the issue market's expensive and priced for, all good things. The line I wrote is the market is priced for a favorable macro backdrop. It is not prepared for significant downside policy risks. And we're seeing some of that here. And that's why we're getting this volatility, which is likely to continue in both directions.
Yeah. Bob, does this make any change to how you invest moving forward? And in particular, are there certain segments of the economy that will be more susceptible to these tariffs if they continue?
Yes. First of all, a macro comment. We want to be more than ever careful about valuations. We said that coming into the year with this volatility that we expected. On this particular issue, you've got to think about what do I own, what exports come from that, what imports come from that, who's supplying me if I'm a manufacturer, and are my raw materials going to go up, and I want to be careful for those kinds of companies. So by and large, pure domestic companies are more beneficiary of the difficulties that multinationals are facing.
Yeah, interesting. And then final question, are there particular segments of the economy where this will hit the hardest? For instance, is it retail or energy, or is it really across the board?
It's across the board, but there will be relative winners and losers. Technology is a multinational industry more than just about any other one, and therefore they've got some challenges on top of the other challenges. Conversely, healthcare is totally domestic, and therefore they have less of an issue. No surprise, tech's down today 1.5%. Healthcare's up 0.5%.
Interesting. All right, Bob, finish us off with just a good reminder if we find ourselves fearful in a time like this, how we need to be processing that.
We need to go to the Psalms and David's Psalm 91, Psalm 92, as examples of where our strength comes from, that God is in control, that he knows what he's doing. We're to rely on that and not fear.
Yeah, that's a good word, Bob. Well, hey, we appreciate you bringing some calm to this, some understanding, and all the best to you as you put on your seatbelt today and navigate these markets.
Thanks, Rob. To everybody, one day at a time.
All right. Bless you, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. That's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer and CEO at Crossmark Global Investments. If you'd like to learn more, sign up for his weekly investment commentary. You can do that at crossmarkglobal.com. Well, folks, thanks for being along today. We did, in fact, cover a lot of ground, but here's the heart behind everything we do. We want to help you live as a wise and faithful steward of God's resources, living out of that biblical worldview through the lens of Scripture, focused on the eternal, not the temporal, but also recognizing that we're here for a reason and we're to take and use everything we've been given for God's glory. And that certainly includes our money, God's money, that's a tool on loan to us. And so each day we're going to try to bring you some encouragement, some hope, but also some wise, practical advice on how you can manage God's money. And we'll do that again tomorrow. So I hope you'll come back and join us here once again. A big thanks to my team today. I certainly couldn't do this without them. Jim Henry providing great research today. Mr. Devin Patrick, our producer, and Sandy Dickinson doing an amazing job as always handling our phone calls today. Plus everybody here at Faith 5. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.